A lot of times I've wished life came with a roadmap. How to be a good neighbor, employee, parent, wife, husband. For most of our lives, we're on our own for how to maximize what we want to accomplish. God's Word isn't like that, though. It is filled with clues and blueprints for how to make our lives richer while growing into His purpose for us. The lives of men like David and Joseph show how God places a call which He eventually brings into fruition. However, although God had a plan for both these men, years passed before they saw those calls fulfilled. During those times, they went through many experiences that probably made them wonder if God was still watching out for them and bringing them to their promised destinies. Though the outcome seemed uncertain at times, a greater purpose was unfolding. God was creating growth to allow them to be rulers who would lead His people. Their characters were being built during the journey they had with God. Nehemiah 3 is one representation of a blueprint for our walk in God's kingdom. Around 445 BC, Nehemiah, which means repentance of the Lord, was the cupbearer for the Persian king Artaxerxes. See Nehemiah 2:1. When he became aware of how the walls had fallen into disrepair around Jerusalem, the city in which he was born, he began to grieve. God then put it in his heart to rebuild them. He went to Artaxerxes to tell of his desire to spearhead the wall's repair, even though he risked execution by showing emotion before the king as his cupbearer. Not only was he not killed, he found favor to receive time off, letters for lumber, an armed guard, and access to regions he needed to pass through on his way. Nehemiah began the project as all of us should when we receive a call from God. He didn't share his vision until he was ready to begin the work. See Nehemiah 2:12. Sometimes when God gives us a vision of His plan for us, keeping that vision to ourselves can spare us sorrow. People who don't possess a similar vision often say discouraging things and can dissuade us from our assignment in God. We should also recognize the power of words in accomplishing or derailing God's purpose. Once Nehemiah did tell others, he was opposed by people, Sanballat and Tobiah, who ridiculed, undermined, and fought God's work. As he began his duty, he proceeded in the confidence of God and, with other Jewish families, repaired the wall and 10 gates in Jerusalem in 52 days. Clearly, being in God's will and acting in one accord with others can accomplish much. Cities were often located on a hill, and their walls were their most outstanding component. They were so strong that today they're often what archaeologists discover in ruins. For instance, they have found remnants of Nehemiah's wall that were many feet thick at places. In Bible times, walls showed a city's prosperity and God's sanction or His curse. A broken wall signified God had negatively judged that city. Gates, however, were the weakest point of the wall, so that's where enemies usually attacked. Around our own Christian walls, the gates we enter are a place of vulnerability to the enemy, too. When we decide to go through another gate to a new level in Him, we can expect a battle to ensue. I've often heard that with new levels come new devils. Ancient gates were made of wood, which represents human effort, and bronze, which represents strength because it's hard for making utensils and resists fire. Bronze probably made the gates less vulnerable to attack from fire. They were bound with plates of copper, which represents softness and pliability. All these substances possess traits that describe us, too. We're human. We possess strength in Christ to go through the fire, yet we must be pliable enough to be changed.